thinking this morning of my good friend Eric Wowo, and how several years ago, this time of the year, he was sitting on a dirt floor in a refugee camp in Nigeria, and that morning was the first time he began to have hope. And he said he never met the guy that led him to Christ, and the guy was on a bullhorn, he was in the tent, and the guy asked him some questions and just said, "Hey, you survived the Civil War." Eric had been in this refugee camp for over a decade as a young man, and he was asked some questions. He said, "Do you think you survived because you were faster than everyone else? Do you think you did that because you were smarter, you had a better plan?" And the guy said, "I want to challenge you that you're here today, you're hearing my voice, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life." And he went on to share the gospel, and Eric said for the first time in his life, the gospel made sense. And he decided that day that he was gonna follow Christ no matter what. And I was just reminded just how gracious God is to us. You know, I want to say to everybody here, hey, welcome to Advent 2020. You made it, okay? You made it through this year, but I also want to tell us that it's by God's grace and by his mercy, and if you can hear my voice, God has a plan and God has a purpose in your life. And I want you to embrace, I want myself to embrace the hope that he has for us. And I would suggest for many of us that if there's ever been a time that we need the hope of Christmas, this just might be the year right now that we need that hope, that we need the hope of Christ. And good news, this is a season of hope. Advent is about hope, and the word Advent means coming or arrival. Traditionally, it's a season of expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. So it's not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links to the past, the present, and the future. Really, in Advent, we share in that ancient longing that the Israelites had that this Messiah would come and make all things new. And for us, we can celebrate that he has already come, but we know something else. He's coming back. That Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to restore. He's going to make all things new. So we can look back, but we also look forward in hope and anticipation of what God is going to do. And so this is a time to prepare our hearts, to prepare our hearts to live for a greater story. Most people you come into contact with live for a lesser story than the grand story of the gospel, or the grand story, the biblical story. And so this is an invitation to put aside those lesser stories and live for a greater story. It's the story of God's redeeming love, of hope and restoration. And here's what it's not. It's not pretending. It's not pretending that we don't have problems around us, that we don't have trials or covering up our pain and our hardship. But it's a reminder to dig deep in the reality of what it means that God sent his son into the world, that Emmanuel, that God is with us. He is with us in the trial that we're going through at this moment. And so I want to suggest that in the craziness and uncertainty of this time for the next 4 weeks, this is a great opportunity to rediscover Christmas. What does it mean that God sent his son into the world to redeem the world? And so next 4 weeks, we're going to look at characters within Christmas story, and we're going to look at hope, peace, joy, and love, and some characters that exemplify those. And today we want to look at hope in Christmas, hope in Christ, even when we're surrounded by uncertainty. I'm guessing some of you have some uncertainty about tomorrow and next month and next year. So how do we hope in the midst of uncertainty? Let me give us a little bit of background. So some of us would say, you know, we've had a bad year. Eric would have called this Tuesday. You know, when we think of going through a difficult time, I mean, man, look at the nation of Israel. Look at the nation of Israel throughout their history, but in particular at the time of Christ's birth, they were a defeated nation. They were an occupied nation. They had a foreign invader that was living there. And it had been thousands of years since the promises of God that were given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So thousands of years have gone by. They've been repeatedly conquered by these foreign enemies in generations since God made this promise of this Messiah. And Israel knew they were waiting, but Israel's cry was, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord?" And maybe you've thought that this time, like, "Lord, I'm patient, but how long, O Lord? How long do you bring your justice? How long till you restore? And is there still hope? You know, are there even embers of hope left?" I imagine first century Jews would have thought that. Is there still hope? And as we look to the Christmas story, maybe you already knew this, I'm going to say yes. But I want to look closely at probably two lesser talked about people in the Christmas story, Simeon and Anna. And you say, "Well, they weren't at the nativity scene." Well, neither were the three kings, but you guys all put them in there. they're part of the Christmas story. So, yeah, you're going to have to look that one up later. Luke 2, 22 through 38. Let's read about Simeon and Anna. Luke 2, begin at verse 22. And it says, "And when the time had come for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as written in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifices according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a righteous man and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for the glory to your people Israel.' And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to them, to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and for a sword that will pierce through your own soul also, so the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, a tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then was a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and praying night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Israel." It's kind of cool about Simeon and Anna. They're like the only people in the Christmas story that don't have to be convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, everyone else, they have an angel pop up and it scares the heck out of them and all this. And maybe God figured he'd do them in if an angel popped up. But they just embrace. I mean, somehow in there, they're just like, yes, this is the Messiah. Must have something to do with the Holy Spirit being with them. But think about these two. I mean, they've experienced some serious life. Anna would know about hardship. I mean, she lived as a widow most of her life. She's pretty low on the social scale within ancient Israel. They would know pain. They would know suffering. And yet, these two people, day after day, year after year, they would show up to the temple. They would serve God faithfully. And they were fueled by the hope that God was still at work. That God was still at work in their lives. That God was still at work within Israel and for the world. And even though they couldn't see it, they held on to hope. And I look at that. I'm like, I want to be like them when I grow up. But Anna and Simeon, they reveal several things to us about hope that I think we should grasp onto, particularly this time of the year and throughout the year. Number one, hope sees beyond. Hope sees beyond. What is hope? Hope is the fuel of our faith. It's the fuel of our faith, our dreams, and possibilities. It's the flicker of light on that new morning. It's that reminder of no matter how bad things are, the problems that we've gone through, the struggles that I'm facing, whether it's a season of darkness and pain, we're encouraged not to abandon because we have hope. We have hope in God that can make all things new. The reality is hope is still alive in our deepest pain and our most hopeless circumstance. And when you get to that place of hopeless circumstances, that's when you really begin to understand the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And the reality is hope chases away the darkness of uncertainty. And you want to know why hope is alive? Because God is alive. Hope is alive because Emmanuel is with us. God is with us. The Apostle Paul says this about hope. Romans 8, 24 and 26. He says, "For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what they see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words." Let me reread part of that there. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Hope, by its very nature, exists in the midst of my questions, your questions, our doubts, and our uncertainties. But hope is the willingness, it's the desire to believe beyond what our present circumstances and realities present to us. So hope sees beyond that. Hope sees the promises that God has given us. Secondly, God is with us here, now, and always. Have you ever thought about this, that God knows your pain? God knows your challenges. He knows your struggles. And in fact, in the person of Jesus Christ, he can empathize, I guess I said that word correctly, with that, because he knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to experience pain and suffering. You know, God was not taken by surprise this year by the events. You know, he didn't go, "Oh, COVID. Oh, I didn't see the racial thing coming. I didn't see the politics. Oh, wow." He saw that. And he's here in our midst. And he wasn't surprised when you received that dreaded phone call or that diagnosis. When you heard those words that shattered your world and left you in confusion and uncertainty. He sees that. And he's here. He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. And this is the hope he delivers. He embodied this hope, and he fulfilled it. He fulfilled it when he came, when he was born in a manger, when he lived out this life, when he died on a cross and was resurrected. He lived out that hope, and he fulfilled it. And by the way, when I say we need to be a people of hope, this isn't something that I got to conjure up. You know, like, okay, I just got to become a person of hope. Is kind of like conjuring up joyfulness. You know, okay, I'm just going to be joyful. No, this is a hope. This is a hope that God infuses within us. Okay? It's a hope that is filled and fanned by the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and He fans up and he delivers that hope that we need. It's something. Yeah, have you ever gone through a hard time and somebody goes, "Oh boy, I could have never gone through that," and you thought, "Well, that's what I would have thought 2 years ago," but God did something in the midst of that. It's His hope rising up in us. Our God, our Emmanuel, is with us, and He promises that He will be with us, and He will be with His people no matter what. We have Old Testament promises about this. Listen to what Isaiah said about having hope in difficult circumstances. Isaiah 43:1 says this: "But now thus says the Lord." Whenever you see that, just know this is true because God said it. "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel." In other words, listen up, my people. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters," not if, but when "you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fires, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." See, God doesn't say, "Hey, follow me, and I'm going to remove all the obstacles and trials of your life." What He says is, "I will walk through those with you. We are not alone. In your darkest moment, you are not alone, because Christ has come, Christ is coming, and Christ will come again. Our God is with us every step of the way." 3, hope inspires us to carry on. So the Apostle Paul described the cycle of hope like this in Romans 5. He explains this, that because of Jesus, he says, "We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering." What are you talking about, Paul? He says, "Not only that, we rejoice in our suffering." Why? Because we like suffering? Christ go to the cross because He likes suffering? No, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the hope of God, it doesn't put us to shame. In other words, you can bank on that. It's not a scam. You can trust in that. It's not going to let us down. This empowering hope, it reminds me of there's a great story. Actually, there's several, but one in particular that came out during the COVID-19 pandemic. How many of you have heard the story of a guy named Captain Tom during the pandemic? Anyone? All right. Captain, maybe you missed it because there was a lot of sideshow acts going on during this time. But in the doom and gloom of the pandemic, Linda, you want to throw a picture of Captain Tom up? Captain Tom, look. Hey, Captain, you gotta love Captain Tom when you see his picture there. So Captain Tom arose as a hero in the middle of this pandemic. He is now called Captain Sir Tom Moore, because he was knighted by the Queen of England. So he's 100 years old, and he raised $40 million for the British healthcare system, because he was concerned that people were lonely and depressed, and people were dying alone by themselves. And so he raised $40 million, and here's what he did. It started out as a challenge from his son-in-law that Tom would go outside, and he had a fairly large garden, and he said, "I'll pay you $1 a lap. I'll donate $1 a lap if you every time you walk around the garden." well, he posted this online, and it went viral. And so suddenly this World War II veteran is gripping his walker, and he's walking around the garden. He did 100 laps around his garden, and he became this national hero. And he became this inspiration to people, and they interviewed him. And this is what Captain Tom told the reporter. He said, the first step was the hardest. He said, after that, I got into the swing of it and kept on going. You know, and think about that. Like, isn't that life? Isn't that the reality when we turn to Christ in faith? Or we say, okay, I'm going to hope in you. I'm going to trust in you. The reality is the first step. It is the hardest. It's the hardest because you know what we like to do? We like to cling to our troubles. we like to hang on things that weigh us down. And what God is asking us to do is let go of those and reach out to His outstretched hand. His hand of hope and redemption. And you know what happens? This happens in my life all the time. I've seen it happen in the life of the church where there's been difficult times and we go, okay, we're in trouble now. And we go, okay, let's just do the next thing. Let's just do the next thing that God is calling us to do. And so many times we found out, like, okay, we got to cross this water. It's dry land. It's dry land once we take that step. And it's that first step. Like Tom says, the first step, that's the hardest. And then what we do is we take that next step. And eventually we start running. We start running by God's grace, by His empowering strength, by Him working in our lives one step at a time. And hope inspires us. It emboldens us. It builds. Hope builds upon hope, and it keeps us going no matter what. Now, here's my question. What's your next step today? How many of you have a step of hope that you need to have? Maybe it's placing faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. I want to invite you to take that step. Maybe it's trusting Him in the brokenness. Maybe it's one of those things saying, hey, God, I've been living for a smaller story, and I want to live for your story. I want to put my trust in an unshakable hope. And as we go forward, here's the reality, is I don't know what the next step looks like. You know, that's one of those things where I haven't been privileged. Lots of times God and I have this agreement that I'm on a need-to-know basis. And sometimes I just don't need to know. But you know what I do know? I know the end of the story. I could go to Revelation 21 and I could look and see that He's going to wipe away every tear. There's going to be no more sickness. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more dying. There's going to be no more division. God's people will be in right relationship with one another, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, before His throne. That's the story that you and I are living for. And so in this Advent season, we find hope in the arrival of the life of Jesus. But we know it wasn't just the birth, right? We know that baby in the manger died on a Roman cross. Defeated sin, defeated death, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is coming back. He is going to restore all things. And so I can hope in the midst of uncertainty. And so my prayer for us is to have hope in the one in the manger and the one who defeated death and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for you. You're the hope of the nations. You're the hope for this nation. You're the hope for each person that can hear my voice today. And I pray today, Lord, that each one of us would walk in your hope, that we would be people of faith, that we would take the next step, whatever it is for each one of us, that we would embrace your plans and your purposes. That I believe with all my heart, Lord, that anybody here that can hear my voice, that they are here today because you have a plan. You have a purpose for our lives. And I pray, oh God, that we would walk in that. Lord, may we be the most hopeful people on this planet. We give you praise. We give you thanks. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.